Here's the good news. God's power comes by grace. If there's a passage I would encourage you to emblazon on your mind today, Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. That doesn't surprise us. God's grace saves us, but this does surprise us, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in this present age. Do you hear what the Bible says there? Paul says, the grace of God that has the power to save you is the grace of God that has the power to change you. That word instructs is literally disciplines. The grace of God not only saves you, the grace of God disciples you. See, what happens sometimes even with Christians is it's kind of like, I trust I'm going to be saved by grace, and then you live like law. I'm going to be saved by grace, but I got to change in my own power, in my behavior, in my own strength. See, there are two ways that people change. The one, if I can oversimplify, the one is, I would say, law. The other is grace. The one is religion, which focuses on outward behavior. I'm going to try. If it's going to be, it's up to me. I'm going to make it happen, you know? Grace, religion focuses on external behavior. I share with you today as a fellow struggler, actually a fellow failure. Anybody really want to get healthy by the way that you eat? I remember when I was in my 30s, I got a note from my brother, a call from my brother Phil, who was in his 40s at that point, and he said, Brett, I found something happened when I turned 40. He says, I kept eating the same stuff that I ate when I was younger and didn't put on weight. But now that I'm 40, I eat the same stuff. I don't eat any others, and I'm putting on weight. Has anybody experienced this? You know, we live in the fallen world. If you want evidence that we live in a fallen world, it's that, right? That. And so Phil was like, so you got to watch what you eat. And so, you know, I've tried to do that. Through focusing on, I'm not going to eat sweets, not going to eat desserts, I'm not going to eat bread, I'm going to cut back on the carbs, you know, I'm going to watch the fatty foods. The problem that I relate with Tommy Lasorda, there's a great Tommy Lasorda line, he said, I'm a strong man, but lasagna is stronger. You know, I'm a strong man, but chocolate chip cookies are stronger sometimes. And if I just focus on the external behavior, but internally, you know what I believe? I believe that the abundance of life is found in chocolate cake. The abundance of life is found in a big fatty steak. On the outside, I can be working on changing behavior, but my belief is I'm deprived if I live that kind of life. That's called cognitive dissonance. If your behavior is one thing and your beliefs, your worldview, your attitudes, your appetites are another thing, something you can't live like that long. Somehow there has to be a harmony between your beliefs and your behavior. And if all you ever do is focus on trying to change my behavior, to change my behavior, the reason people get stuck is they never change the heart. Their beliefs about reality, about God, about the world, don't change. Religion focuses on external behavior. I'm going to change the outside behavior. God changes us on the inside, by grace. Not about rule keeping. It's about changing our attitude toward Him. I was really trying to think of some good illustrations for this because, you know, I said to my wife the other day, I said, one of my concerns is that people think, oh, so it doesn't matter what I believe. If God doesn't change me from the inside, I'm not going to change. It's His fault, kind of. No. And Laura's like, Brett, it's Les Miserables. And I'm kind of like, yeah. I love that. It's, you know, Les Miserables is written by a Christian, of course. It tells the story of Jean Valjean, who was in prison for 19 years for stealing bread because his sister's kids were starving. 19 years of abuse and injustice leave him filled with anger and hatred and bitterness and cynicism. And then finally he's released. But because of his past, he can't find work. Nobody cares for him. Then one night, a priest brings him in, gives him food, gives him a place to sleep. Jean Valjean, though, is still the same old Jean Valjean. His anger gets the best of him. He attacks the priest. He steals the silver knives and forks and spoons. He gets caught by the police. He tells the police, oh, the priest gave this stuff to me. They don't believe him. Take him back to the priest. This guy says that you gave him this silver. And the priest says, Jean Valjean, you didn't take the candlesticks, the silver candlesticks that I gave you. They're worth so much more. And he puts them in the bag and he orders, take off his chains, set him free. And Jean Valjean is dumbfounded. He says to the priest, why are you doing this? And the priest speaks grace. He says, don't forget, don't ever forget. You promised to become a new man, Jean Valjean, my brother. You no longer belong to evil. With this silver, I've ransomed you from fear and hatred, and now I give you back to God. And from that moment on, Jean Valjean became a new man, having received grace. His bitterness is washed away. His attitude toward himself, toward God, toward people. So he lives the rest of his life as a generous giver of grace. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to say no to ungodliness. The grace of God that saves us is the power that changes us from the inside. See, the difference between religion and grace, religion says, try harder. Behavior alone. Grace is about relationships. Grace says, trust more. Grace changes the way you believe because it changes the way you see God. Trust God's love. Trust God's character. Trust the way that God sees. Rule-keeping says God is a rule-giving God who wants me to keep the rules because he's going to enforce the rules. Grace says God is a loving God who gives us direction, rules, because he wants what's best for us. Grace says, I will trust what God says is best because of relationship. I will ask him to change my attitudes, my appetites. James chapter 4, verse 6. He gives greater grace. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God resists people who say, I don't need God's power. I can do it on myself, on my own. You know, and again, this is where a lot of Christians are even. Oh, I'm going to trust God for my forgiveness, for my salvation, but I don't need him to change. I'm going to change on my own strength. I can do this to myself, you know. Therefore, submit yourself to God. See, it's a relationship. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's a grace relationship. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, we do those actions now because of grace. Be miserable, mourn, and weep. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of God. God exalts them in his power. God changes. Isn't the Apostle Paul a great example of that? Paul was too proud. He was depending on his own strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, so I wouldn't exalt myself. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I wouldn't exalt myself. Paul's having some pride problems here. So God humbles him, so he'll trust in God's power, not his own. Now, we're not told what the thorn is. Some believe it was bad eyesight. Some believe it's some recurring illness like malaria. I have a different theory, of course, this thing that tormented Paul. Cats, that's right, you're exactly right. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he would take the cats away from me. See that? But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. God's grace is powerful to change. us. Paul begged God, take away my pain, take away my suffering. God says, no, in your suffering, you're going to experience my grace, the power of my grace, like you'd never experience it otherwise. Paul says, therefore, I will gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. You feel weak? You feel like, I can't do this in my own strength. Great. God is saying, trust me. Believe me. Obey what I'm saying to do. And trust me. I will reward you. I will give you the strength that you need to go on. Don't give up. So I take pleasures, he says, in weakness, insults, hardship. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says, now I get it. I used to think I'm strong when I'm strong in my own strength. Have you ever come to the, have you ever said, oh, I can't do this anymore. I just can't take this anymore. Well, good. Paul says, I've come to realize that that's not when I'm strong. I'm strong when I come to this place where I say I'm weak. Therefore, God must be strong in me. His, what's the word? Grace is sufficient. Here's the thing. There's a mystery in this. I just wonder, have you experienced the power of God's grace changing you? Or are you still trying to do it in your own strength? Here's the thing about people who can change themselves in their own power. To the degree you can change your, you know what that produces? Self-righteousness. Why can't everybody change like I can? Like you're superior to, but when you know you're saved, you're changed by the power of God's grace, all you can do is worship him and be thankful.